and welcome to We the People. I'm Gargi Rawat. The Muzaffarpur shelter case has shocked and shamed the country. A place meant as a shelter for girls where over 34 of the inmates from the ages of 7 to 17 were repeatedly raped, abused and subjected to terrible violence. What has emerged is a sickening story of a nexus between the man who ran the shelter, Brajesh Thakur, and politicians, police, bureaucrats and even gundas, where the protectors became the perpetrators. It's a story that has left us all horrified and has raised so many questions. How did this happen? How can we prevent something like this from ever happening again? And how many other places is this happening in? Will the perpetrators be punished? Now the case has been handed over to the CBI. 10 people, including Brajesh Thakur, have all been arrested. And it's become a massive political controversy with the opposition attacking Nitish Kumar government, demanding his resignation. Nitish Kumar, on his part, has said he's shocked and ashamed and has assured strictest punishment. But let the Muzaffarpur case not become another instance of scoring political points. And then, just a footnote, let this be a turning point in how social services and shelters work when it comes to providing care for some of the most vulnerable in our society. And I think that's something we should all strive for. On the show today, Mohammed Tariq, who was heading the team from the Tata Institute of Social Sciences that uncovered the sexual exploitation at the Muzaffarpur shelter. Also, Ajay Alok, spokesperson of the JDU, Dr. Naval Kishore, spokesperson RJD, Utsav Singh Benz, advocate and with the Supreme Court, who was part of another shelter home abuse story, Rohtak's Apna Ghar in 2012. Utsav was in a court-appointed team and visited shelters after the abuse had emerged. Ruchira Gupta, social campaigner and founder, Apne Aap, Amod Kant, former DGP who founded NGO Prayas that works with children. Prabhat Kumar, head of Child Protection, Save the Children. Also Shamina Shafiq, a former member of the National Commission for Women. Well, let's start the show with Muhammad Tariq, whose team from TIS actually uncovered the horror that was going on in this shelter home. Muhammad, first, tell us how you approached this. You were asked by the Bihar government to do a social audit of shelters in the state. And there had been visits to this shelter before as well. We're all learning now how in November 2017, another team had visited the girls. They say now that the girls cried and they thought that maybe the situation wasn't very good and had recommended that it be shifted to another shelter. But how did you approach this and how did you get these children to actually confide in you?
I think an important part is that when you visit the homes or any institution that you're going to, I think how we approach, how we carry ourselves, that is what matters the most. And for us, this audit was different in many, many ways. For example, we wanted to capture the lived experiences of people in these institutions, and not just this one home, but all the institutions that we went to. So for us, more than the administrative or the financial parts of the institution management, but we are looking at what were the people who are living there, what were their experiences. So how were they experiencing those institutions? Were they happy? Were they not? And it's something, as small as when you enter a home and that has, say, about 50 odd children, or it's complete silence, everybody is disciplined. That's not a normal behavior for children. So there are a lot of things that give out, like whether children will reach out to you or not. Say a very small thing that we did was we would not come across as somebody who's very, very familiar or friendly with the authorities there. And the moment you enter the institution, children are watching you. So if you go and sit in the superintendent's office and then you're just looking at the files, maybe children would never have the confidence in you. So, I mean, that's how we started.
In fact, I think one of the issues that has emerged here is a lot of the audits just involved a lot of paperwork, a lot of, just audits, yeah. And papers are signed, but not actual accounts from the children. And that is something that needs to change.
Absolutely. A very small example I would like to give here. All the state has provided for, say, water purifier. So all institutions have to have water filters in place. So normally, when a visiting team would go there, They'll probably check whether this water purifier is there or not. They'll probably check whether it's working or not. But for us, that was not the point where we would put a tick mark. We would actually just see it, it's there. Then while speaking to kids, we'll just bring out an empty bottle and ask, थोड़ा पानी लेकर आ जाओ बेटा. And child would go and वो आंगन से पानी टैप है वहाँ से लेकर आ जाएगा, because that's where वो naturally अपने लिए रोज़ वहाँ से पानी लेते हैं. And बच्चे will not plan कि अभी हमें कहीं और से लेके आना है. So naturally जहाँ से रोज़ खुद के लिए ले रहे हैं, they would go there and bring it. So for us, it did not matter whether you had a RO installed or not, whether it was working or not, but what we looked at, so maybe it was there, but it was not available for children. It was being used by the staff of the organization. So we were looking more at, and I think for any audit, it's important that that's why we are saying social audit is essential, because that's where people who are using the facility are auditing the are assessing the
Right.
facility, and that's where the most correct picture will come out.
All right, and your report that you finally submitted while the Muzaffarpur shelter is number one, where you talk of urgent action needed, there are 15 points there. There are 15 other places where you've asked for urgent action. There's a school in Motihari as well for boys, where you speak about sexual abuse and physical abuse taking place.
Yeah, so these homes were, see, if you look at, we covered total of 110 institutions, and these 14, 15 homes were the ones which required immediate action, as you said. But these interventions required were of different nature, of different degrees, different natures. But these were the, so it's not that everybody everywhere there was a sexual abuse happening. Say in a adoption agency, the nature of abuse was different. There was neglect, so there were babies there who would not be able to report if they are being attended properly or not. So if you look at those institutions, the needs are different, but we felt that each of them required immediate corrective measures.
Right,
And
you write about how adoption agencies, you found conditions which is likely to be life-threatening for the residents there. Now, Mohammed, this has become a massive political controversy. Yesterday, we had a rally in the national capital where we saw all various parties from the Congress to AAP to RJD and the left as well, all coming together. But beyond the politics, what do you think? What should be our learning from this?
I think there's a lot to learn from this. See, I feel this is one time that we need to, we really need to, all of us need to come together and ensure that, this is the end of it. I was actually feeling, we were very apprehensive whether the state will accept this kind of report or not. But thanks to the principal secretary, who not only accepted the report
In
in
fact, he
complete, but
asked for
also
this
assured us.
audit. He's the one who asked for the
Yeah,
social audit.
yes, that's the, he's the one who asked for this audit. And even when we were giving this report, we had this apprehension that how will government respond to this. But he assured that he's fully committed to this, and he said that I'll ensure that we take every possible corrective measure that is required. I think that's the commitment from the administration. We, of course, now the way things are coming out, and there are reports about a lot of people at a very different level being involved, we don't know about it. I cannot comment on that. But I think more than political parties, I think we need to come together and look at this situation as a learning, what we need to do about our children. If we are actually serious about protecting our children, we need to immediately look at assess all our institutions across the country. This is not about Muzaffarpur, this is not about one district, this is not about one
Right.
state. Say we had this one officer who went ahead and said, I need this to be done. But we don't know how many more institutions, maybe not of this seriousness, because in this particular instance, there was NGO involved, the CWC involved, the child protection officer involved. Maybe this kind of situation will not have a repeat. But still, there would be abuses of different nature happening in institutions across. But what are we
Right.
doing? Can any state actually come up and say, come visit our homes, audit us, we are clean? I don't think any state can do that.
In fact, we should all demand that something like that happen.
We
And
should all
Amol Khan,
demand that, absolutely.
as
That's what
somebody
we,
who's
that's what, that.
involved in something, you run a home yourself, and
Not run, 47.
yes,
We
well,
run 47 homes.
various homes under your NGO, but at every level, at every check and balance, we fail these children. And that is what has become very evident in this. It's only after a team from TIS actually went there that we realized the horror of what was going on in this shelter.
No, I think what he said about TIS, you know, TIS is one of the agencies. We do it ourselves. In fact, many a times I have inspected some homes in Delhi. Government told and we inspected. Now, let me tell you insider's view and what we think really, because ultimately all these agitations, all these political discussions will go away in the thin air. And what would remain will be 7,000 homes. I think you know that.
So right.
7,100 homes. The Supreme Court of India told the National Commission for Child Rights to inspect all these 9,000 homes actually. 7,100 are being supported.
And they all have to be registered under the Juvenile Justice Act.
Presently, let me inform you, ma'am, for all of you, 2,62,000 children are living in these homes. 2,62,000 children. And this country, incidentally, has nearly 20 million orphans. 20 million orphans, 20 million children who need this kind of support, who need to be in the homes and shelters. So now it's a very, very peculiar issue where, you know, I would like to make just one or two points which is very important from insider's point of view. First of all, we run. Prayas is one of the leading organizations running 47 homes. Many of them are for adults also, but for children, women, similar
yes,
kind of
I
homes.
Visited one of
one
homes.
Thing which I always say that a home is a home. The home should have the atmosphere of a home. And home is not a jail. It is not supposed to be a closed place. Perhaps the biggest mistake done in this home also was it was a very closed place. And majority
yes, we hear
of
the reports, one staircase going up and it's totally
no, nobody
barricaded.
Nobody knows. In fact,
people say they never even saw the girls. And now we're learning that the girls were beaten every time they approached the windows.
I mean, see, I cannot comment on what exactly happened. I would let CBI is the highest body. I was in CBI as a policeman. 4 years I worked in
given.
CBI. So, I mean, since I was insider in CBI also by chance. So there I know that they will definitely find out everything and nexus, etc. Now, one or two points are very important. Number one, all these homes across the country are run under Juvenile Justice Care and Protection Act, Care and Protection of Children Act 2015. And there is a hierarchy of supervision. The TIS coming in the picture is just a chance, or any other organization coming in the picture.
I think that's something we all wonder about, that had TIS not gone and done this social audit, we may not have ever known what was going on here.
The issue is that there is a definite, very, very serious systemic failure, because the home has a superintendent or manager, couple of his staff who are supposed to look after, whose direct responsibility. Then comes the supervision within the organization, then comes Child Welfare Committee. The Child Welfare Committee is a body of magistrates, let me inform you, run by social workers. Social workers, they run Child Welfare Committee. It's a government body. It's a body of magistrates.
Well, one of the members of the Child Welfare Committee is actually accused in this, and he's on the run.
I mean, since we are addressing media and addressing people, it should be known to people that Child Welfare Committee is supposed to visit and visits. This home was also visited twice a month. Then district level child protection unit. Then the state level, it's very, very important, ironical, that the High Court has created a body of judges. There are High Court judges called Juvenile Justice Committee of High Court. Hmm. And today Supreme Court of India has got a body led by a judge. So there is a hierarchy of inspecting bodies and National Commission, State Commission of Child Rights. Now the issue is that the failure is massive. One doesn't know why all these people overlooked it and why someone from him or someone from TIS had to come and find out all these things. But let us not conclude. One point I would like to make. Let us not make it.
So
it is
an absolute failure of every level.
No, ma'am, let us not
make it. Checks and balances
that
were meant to be there.
Let us not make it such a story that these 2,60,000 children are thought to be or presumed to be under that kind of situation. They are not. They are definitely not.
I have to say, it's something that is a worry for all of us. But let me get Ajay Alok in here. The systemic failure, the fact that in November 2017, another child welfare committee or a child welfare body had gone and actually suggested that these girls be moved out of here. There are also reports that in 2016, a doctor had said that these girls are very nervous, they seem very skittish, and there's no family-like atmosphere. So at every level, there has been failure. And on the other hand, this sordid story that has emerged of Brajesh Thakur, the kind of nexus he had, the political clout he apparently wielded. He was getting money from the government for running these shelters. He also used to get advertising for his various newspapers, I think three small newspapers that he ran. So I think that is something that has also shocked many, the nexus really with the police, with bureaucrats, how many people who were meant to be protectors were involved in these horrible crimes.
They were definitely, whatever the reports are coming and whatever we are seeing the pictures, it is quite apparent that many people are involved. And Chief Minister himself has given the statement, whosoever it may be, they will be booked. And those who are helping them, they also will be booked. That is another story administratively. But you should know the history of this NGO. This is more important. It's not like that this NGO started its functioning right for the last 3-4 years. It was registered way back in 1991, November. Since 1992...
And Brajesh Thakur's father, yeah. I believe.
Yeah. No, himself, Brajesh Thakur himself. Brajesh Thakur's okay. father was involved in the newspaper business.
Yes.
He has around 5 newspapers registered, out of which 2 are registered with Government of Bihar.
So the point you're making is that successive governments supported him.
No, it is going on. See,
which
when our government
in itself,
came... I'm not blaming anyone. Neither I'm putting any political blame games here. I'm admitting my failure. But my achievement is that in October, there was a conscious policy decision taken by the Chief Minister when he reviews all the department that we must have a social audit of every department, especially where the funding are going to NGOs. On that basis, the Principal Secretary gave this contract to TCA, TICS. They have contacted the inquiry, they submitted the report in Feb. Now the biggest failure of our government, which we admit, what the Principal Secretary has admitted, that this report was kept in cold shoulders for 1.5 months. This is the failure.
52 days, yes, it took for any action to be
taken.
Yeah,
that's what
report.
I'm telling you. And that is what you call nexus. The Deputy Director who has been suspended today, yesterday, because of this only, because the report was lying with him and it was kept like that for 45 days and the action got delayed. The moment Principal Secretary got to know of it, he immediately came into action that where's the report which I have given you? Was the action taken report? There was nothing. So he himself has to take an action, and right on 30th May, an FIR was launched. Now, multiple concocted stories keep on arising that on the day of FIR, 1 crore was allotted. This is all fabricated.
But sir, why hasn't the social welfare minister been sacked till now? Given this has happened under her
minister,
watch, there are also allegations about her husband. I don't know.
That's what I'm telling you.
But still, why hasn't the government sacked her? Because this happened under her.
And it's a government-supported body. This home is a government-supported, hence the money came. Money would come
absolutely.
If it's government-supported.
True.
Crores were earned by this British Thakur.
The social welfare minister husband, whose name is cropping up, that he used to visit the shelter home. The primary investigation done by the SIT team of Bihar Police, which was led by their superintendent of police, she clearly said it, that there is no role of any involvement of his husband. We are trying to probe from every angle. Now, since the case is with the CBI and the Supreme Court is monitoring it, and we have also asked High Court.
Even her husband aside, I still think she should be sacked because this happened under her watch. She is the minister
responsible. See, we are not here for giving any kind of a political message.
What
is an administrative failure, you have to take that.
All right, I think Dr. Naval Kishore wants to come in here. Yes, go ahead.
Well, if you look at the whole series of actions, the action of Chief Minister is under doubt. And that is for 3 reasons. One is that he took such a long time to act. And when he spoke very little by saying that we are ashamed of it. Whereas he should have fixed responsibility of at least minister to sack because her husband was questioned under allegation by an important person, wife of important person, that is child protection officer. Wife has suggested and one of the witnesses has said that the explanation was her husband. So he kept silent on that. He did not sack till now. And third is that the link between Nitish Kumar and Brajesh Thakur is evident in the political circle. Number one, Brajesh Thakur fought contested election on NDA in 1995 and 2000. 2000 NDA, Nitish Kumar was there. 2013, he joined JDU.
False.
And he has been getting not only grant, but he has been getting grant advertisement from the ministry that Nitish Kumar held. That Pratah Kamal paper, whose circulation is less than 100, is getting at least 1 crore per annum.
But sir, aise to bahut allegations hai. Kaha jata ki aapki party se bhi wo close the kuch logon se. To this political blame game.
मैं किसी फोटो के आधार पे नहीं. There is defined substantive allegations. आपके नीतीश कुमार के मिनिस्ट्री से उनको उनके पेपर को दिया जाता था, ये सत्य है. उनके साथ चुनाव लड़े हैं, ये सत्य है. वो प्रचार किए हैं, ये सत्य है. ये सारा चीज वहां के पॉलिटिकल विमर्श में है, वहां के राजनीतिक विमर्श में है. मैं केवल फोटो के आधार पर नहीं कह रहा हूँ.
लेकिन सर, एक साल पहले तो आप भी इस सरकार के साथ ही तो थे और ये तो कम से कम 3-4 साल से चल रहा है.
लेकिन आप लेकिन आपको ये देखना पड़ेगा ना कि ये
1992 से चल रहा है
एफआईआर में उन्होंने 2 महीने देर क्यों लगाए
रिपोर्ट्स आर सेइंग दैट इन लास्ट 3-4 इयर्स दिस अब्यूज इज पॉसिबली बीइंग गोइंग ऑन
हम तो आज भी इसको पॉलिटिकल इशू नहीं मानते हैं हम मानते हैं कि ये सामाजिक इशू है इसलिए जंतर मंतर पे केवल राजनीतिक दल नहीं थे वहां पे सामाजिक संस्थाएं थी सिविल सोसाइटी थे जेएनयू दिल्ली यूनिवर्सिटी जामिया के स्टूडेंट थे इट वॉज नॉट ए पोलिटिकल स्टंट इट वॉज ए सोशल इशू जैसे
all right, sir, but towards the end when all the leaders got together and raised their arms it really seemed like a opposition coming together you know politics taking over this very very horrific issue that we are all dealing with and all wondering how to overcome
please look from the point of view prime
But though I have to say, Tejaswi Yadav did bring this issue to Delhi and it's good that he's pushing this issue, suffered. Even though it is for his own politics. But today, Nitish Kumar said, ek aad negative cheez aisi hoti rehti hai, in pe focus nahi karna chahiye. So is he reducing this to ek aad negative cheez?
See, it's not a matter of ek aad negative cheez. What Nitish Kumar said, it has a very prospective meaning. Bihar has seen so many work. There's a transformational change if you ask with any civil society in the last 12 years. You cannot question the integrity of a person. When you are yourself saying there are so many administrative layers, please asking to remain quiet. At least
what
have some decency on the debate.
What happened in case of Srijan also is
Now there are certain levels, that so many layers, what right now Mr. Amodkant has explained to you. Now all the layers are failing. And if the end something goes wrong, you are left with Chief Minister to blame. That is very easy and convenient politically, what people are doing here.
Nitish Kumar also has a lot to answer. This happened under his
watch. Yes, because he's Chief Minister.
But we want to go beyond the politics of this on today's show. I want to go across to Utsav Benz now. Utsav, you are somebody. Dr. Kishore, just give me a moment. I'd like to move away from the politics. I want to go across to Utsav Benz, who's a lawyer who has been on a previous case in Rohtak. And Utsav, now in 2012, the Apna Ghar case in Rohtak, you were a part of the team that went there. Again, there were so many horror stories. We only got to know because three girls actually ran away from that home, came to Delhi, called a helpline, and that's how this whole sordid story came out then in 2012 about the kind of abuse, rapes that were going on, and there were 100 inmates at that shelter. So now, what is your reaction to this Muzaffarpur case? Because it just seems again, you know, it's just all happening again, the outrage, and this time we want to make sure that some action is taken, that rules are changed, some, at least the rules that we have are implemented properly.
Yeah. Gargi, in 2012, when the Apna Ghar Rohtak shelter home happened, I was part of the court-appointed commissioner's team that had interviewed all these children. And fortunately, because of the intervention of the High Court and there was a CBI probe after a decade, which is, I think, too long, the perpetrators of facilitators of rape were booked. People like Brijesh Thakur were booked and punished. But unfortunately, the rapists and people who came inside the home and sexually abused the children till date, they have not been punished. Second point is in Samparna Barua matter, I was again asked by the National Commission for Protection of Child Rights to go and interview juvenile homes and shelter homes in Chandigarh and Punjab. I'd interviewed about 600 children and a majority of the children were, I had even submitted the audio recordings of children stating that they were given third degree torture inside police lockups. They were sexually abused. But unfortunately, nothing happened for these children. Then again, I had interviewed scores of children in the state of Haryana. And again, the same story. You find that Amodji said it's a systemic failure. I would take it forward. For children, for destitutes, for millions of street children, the whole constitution has failed. Because not only you find apathy in the government structure, you also have now come across apathy in the courts. Justice G.S. Verma, one of the torchbearers of child rights in the country, had famously stated in the Supreme Court, as the Chief Justice of India, that children have rights only if they are actively protected by the courts. Unfortunately, today, the rights of children are not actively protected by any state of our democracy. And that is the reason I would reiterate that it is a constitutional failure we are looking at. A society's character is how you treat your children. From that yardstick, I think India has the worst character when it comes to treating our children. And I mean, I might sound cynical, but this is coming after 10 years of working with children inside shelter homes, working with street children.
And I find that seeing the kind of rape and abuse that goes on at close quarters.
Yes, but Gargi, the issue is that rather than improving, we are not even improving. We are going down in standards. You find that cases after cases are reported, not a single man is punished. There is not an example. There is no deterrence effect of law. And that is the reason tomorrow you'll find more people like Brijesh Thakur raping children and facilitating their rape, and nothing will happen. What stops the courts to make an example of a man like Brijesh Thakur and make sure that he's punished within 2 months?
Absolutely. So I think, and that is something I think everybody in the media and in society, we must demand. But Shamina, come in here. I mean, it's been an absolute failure. And 2012, the Rohtak case happened. Now we have the Muzaffarpur case. We don't want another such case coming a few years down the line.
See, Gargi, I'll quickly make 2-3 points. First of all, you mentioned the Rohtak Apna Ghar case. Unfortunately, I would say that I was the person from NCW who had gone to Apna Ghar to, because there were girls beyond 18 years also. Yes. And I myself heard those gory stories. The entire report was made. There were certain set of recommendations which were given to Government of India. But unfortunately, we don't see any action on that. Then there was Kanker, which happened in Chhattisgarh, somewhere in 2013, if I'm not wrong. All right, again, being Chhattisgarh in charge, I was there. There were small children housed in a hostel, a tribal hostel. And like you said, that a four-walled kind of a school or a hostel, like Apna Ghar or maybe this Muzaffarpur. But there, Kanker, it was a hut, for heaven's sake.
Right.
Run by a tribal ministry fund, which goes into crores. All right, and the girls
and tribal children used to come and stay there in boarding.
Stay there in boarding, and they were raped day after day, night after night, and the washes used to happen right in front of the villagers, and the villagers were mute spectators. So it's not just the authorities, the political system. Sometimes even we as a society, we choose to remain mute on these issues. Then you're talking about the political.
Even the Muzaffarpur case, now neighbors are coming out and saying we used to hear girls screaming
but they
and
would,
crying.
None of
but
them would actually get
because
least
Brijesh Thakur's clout that he had, so
what is cloud? You can always make an anonymous call. You can always use your sensibilities to ensure that at least the children are safe. Had your children, your personal child would have been there, would you remain mom? No, you would not. But just because they are orphans, they are destitute, nobody chooses to even speak on this. Then you spoke about just now politicization of the entire issue, because there were certain set of political parties who came yesterday at Jantar Mantar. Now, my simple question to the ruling party here is, Nitish Kumar's party and BJP, who stopped them to also go to Jantar Mantar and say, we also stand by those children. We will also ensure that criminals are punished. Because that will send a strong message to these criminals. But you know what? The ruling party would always shy away. As if, I mean, if they will also go and share the dais, it's going to be what? Give a strong message to the criminals. You choose to remain silent.
So I think
because
it became a bit of a show of strength of opposition parties
Though they keep saying that
we don't want to politicize.
I'm simply asking them, BJP and Nitish Kumar's party would have also gone and maybe done a protest.
There
that,
were
look,
also
we
social
object,
organizations.
Kindly allow me
societies.
To complete. They would have said, we object to this and we stand by these children. So then there's a strong message to the criminals. Now in Kanpur case, the Unnao case, the rape that happened, the MLA is still not sacked. That's the political messaging that we see. Now, here in this case, the minister is not sacked. That's the kind of political messaging we see.
Right.
Today in Odisha, there is a 14-year-old child who committed suicide because again in a hostel, she was raped by the principal. So these stories will repeat one after the other. The states will change, the district will change, the children will
Prabhat
change.
Kumar,
but there's no plan of action.
So the politics is there, but the children, how do we... What happens now, and what would you also like to see happen after a case like this has come out? I think there's a report today that one of the girls has actually gone missing from the shelter that she was shifted to. So how do we know that these girls are safe in getting the therapy, the care that they now need?
You know, who are we speaking about now? It's actually children. And in this entire context, we are in fact many times forgetting these children. And by walking in number of states at different places that we walk, we see that children look upon very, like when we work with children in street situation or children who are vulnerable, we see that they have lot of hope when they are sent to home, and they feel they are actually moving from place where they are suffering to a place which would be better. And if something like this happens, they really feel miserable. And I feel that as a system, we need to think what has happened to those children who have shifted. A close monitoring should be done, and it's not only for that those children. The report actually in this case talks about 110 shelters, and at country level, like there are over 250,000 children who are living in child care institutions.
Oh, so there are correctional homes.
We need
to, and we need to have some sort of result. They must be rehabilitated. So we don't even know what happens to these children.
Some of the homes have surrendered.
One of the
worst
part is, that we must focus here is, see, how our mechanisms and laws sometimes fail us. Okay, this one is clear example. Fixing of accountabilities. Okay, we are still not able to fix that accountability.
Like the first and foremost,
the first and foremost is someone who is running the home.
Social welfare.
People who inspected, and like the report points out, and we have seen in number of the cases, the inspections normally cover only administrative and financial aspect. It should actually be child psychology. That's
what
Mohammed
was talking about, the actual interaction with the children. I think most of the reports which you're now reading, it's all about papers and signatures and this clearance and that clearance. And
actually,
you know, this is in place.
Also
talking to the children at these shelters, that is something that hasn't happened during these audits.
And one of the reasons that contribute that is very few people understand the child psychology. So when you are doing inspection, make sure that people who understand child psychology, child behavior. You were giving example of this place. We have seen at number of the places, you know, there is cycle of abuse that takes place. So what we need to understand is identify them at very initial stage. Like someone was saying that in September, October, there were some cases that were reported, but they thought it's not very big. So why happened?
So react faster to when these reports are submitted. Let's get Ruchira Gupta here. Ruchira, what do you have to say about this, the issues that we're discussing? Clearly, we have the laws in place. It's just that none of them have been followed. There's been a failure at every level as far as the Muzaffarpur shelter goes, and it's absolutely shameful. And of course, the sordid nexus that has emerged, that is also very frightening, the fact that this Brijesh Thakur could get by for so long, get government funds, have an NGO, run these shelters, run a newspaper, and he was also, I'm ashamed to say, an accredited journalist as well.
There is a system failure, and the system failure begins with a culture of impunity. And that has been increasing steadily in our country. As you know, rapists are going unpunished. In some places, rapists are even being promoted. As you know, and the lawyers of the accused in the Asifa case, or as now it's known as the Kathua case, has just been made the Deputy Advocate General of the state. And the victim's lawyer has been arrested. In UP, in Unnao, where there was a Dalit girl who was raped, the person was an elected official of the ruling party, and her father was murdered when she tried to speak up. And after a big UN cry, he was arrested. So this culture of impunity is what this Brijesh Thakur functioned in. He knew he could get away with it because there was report after report, complaint after complaint against him, and yet there was no reaction, no response. And he knew he could bank in on that. That a man can get away by sexually exploiting women and girls, the most poor, the most vulnerable of girls who were locked up in a little shelter. And this man could go in there, and someone from TIS, which is such a reputable institution, went and submitted a report, and yet there was no response to it. It just went into layers of bureaucracy. Now, this also speaks volumes about the chief minister's style of governance. He has become so dependent on bureaucracy and so dependent on the few officials who surround him that he has no access to real information. He does not meet independent NGOs. Every time he interacts with women, he holds these big orchestrated meetings through Ajivika. There is no real information coming into him. I don't even know if he even knew about the TIS report. And that is the real pity. That when someone chooses to be elected as chief minister, his mandate is to know what people are going through and what they are feeling. And if he does not know that...
Or at least his minister should. And even she hasn't been sacked till now. What do you think about that? The minister has not been sacked till now.
That's the point. The culture of impunity. That the minister is not sacked. The lady who is the women and child minister, her husband is also implicated. She keeps saying it's a political vendetta. Whatever.
Which it may well be, but I still think she needs to be sacked.
Exactly. And whatever it is, these people need to at least be suspended while the investigation is going on, to send a clear message to those frightened children and their parents that these people in power will not suppress them, and they will not be tortured, and they will not be intimidated. What is happening in Kathua right now? The lawyer of the victim has been arrested.
All right, right now we actually don't have anyone from the BJP to actually talk about this. And you know, we want to discuss the shelter case right now. I want to ask you about a proposal of the Bihar government to actually have transgenders as guards at these shelters. And what would you say to something like that? This is something that has been reported, and it just seems a lack of understanding of how to run shelters.
It's a such a
nonsensical proposal.
Because transgender people can also exploit children. It doesn't mean that exploitation is only man-woman. A man can exploit a woman, a transgender
Absolutely.
Can exploit a child.
And there's also from the central ministry of having only women as the caretakers or guards involved. But
in
this
there was
case
a woman
as well,
caretaker.
Yes, it's all
in
women
Afnagar
who are
case,
involved.
There was a woman caretaker.
See, I'm deeply worried. I'm deeply yes, worried Madhuri, about just one point, way forward.
Right, go ahead.
Maybe if you permit me a little, Ruchira, just a minute. If you permit me a way forward. Are we going to get stuck up and get frozen to a situation like this, which is so alarming, so dangerous, so horrendous, or we are going to go beyond it? Now, let me see. I worked in this sector for 30 years. Exactly 30 years back, I started Prayas. And today, whatever we are, 247 centers and things like that. The issue is that we must think, where do we go further from here? See, there are, as I mentioned
but
earlier,
when there's such a lack of understanding,
there are millions of children, mind you. There are millions of Just a minute. The millions and millions of children waiting to be taken in some kind of shelter, some kind of home. I told you 20 million on record, the orphans are there. Hmm. And we have space for 260,000 children here. Now, earlier, these stories used to come about government homes. And government homes used to behave like totally bureaucratic and jails and things like that. Some of us tried to create the new culture of making homes homes. Make them transparent, make them accessible. You can visit any home of Prayas any day. And there is no restriction anywhere. You can go and see for yourself. But then now it's a serious thing. It's a very, very serious thing that even non-governmental organizations are getting into the same trap. And this is very bad actually. Because ultimately, let me inform you, Juvenile Justice Act, it really creates a situation where all shelters are to be run by the NGOs. Shelters
right.
are not supposed to be run by the government. What would happen if these things happen and we are not able to correct them? So you have to correct the situation.
But all right, Ajay, Alok,
just one thing, what Ruchira was saying about
Mr. Nitish Kumar being out of touch and, again, I come back to the point, the minister has not been sacked. What kind of message does that send? You've just suspended some very lowly people who are involved, six workers here and one other person has been suspended now. Nobody of any, any who amounts to something, the minister who's in charge of this, who's under whose watch this has happened, she's still there.
Okay, Gargi, first of all, I don't want to make any comment on Ruchira's observation. It could be her perspective. Now, let us start from where we started. Now, who ordered this investigation by TIS? Wasn't the minister a part of that decision-making thing? After TIS inquiry, we got to know everything. Fine.
No,
when I'm saying there was a delay of one month in taking an action.
This
but right now, the action has been taken.
This is ridiculous.
Wasn't the minister was part of it that the CBI should be given the case? Chief Minister himself ordered. Wasn't the CN
Shouldn't you be
part
ashamed
of it?
Of not
now, the Supreme
the
Court has taken a suo motu cognizance. Supreme Court has taken a suo motu cognizance.
You have the
now, this inquiry is being under the supervision of Supreme Court.
Yes, Utsav, go ahead.
That you are wrong.
No. Gargi, now, this is too much. This has been happening by JDU for the last 1 week, and I rarely speak on politics. But Mr. Ajay Alok, you should be ashamed of yourself. We are talking about children after children getting raped, and
please
you
don't give me lectures on children after
minister?
Children because what we have done for
is
children you have not done for the last 10 years.
You, will let
you are just here to make
raped?
A political
you
comment.
Should, now listen to
you
the
are
law.
Not you are
law
not sparing
says,
the courts also.
Law says that
where you respect the political party. You have also
supposed to work on this.
That's why
the
court is not punishing anyone.
What kind of
treatment do you want to be?
You are suspending that person.
If there is a speedy trial, if there is a fast track court, what more you want? Now you will challenge the order. You will challenge.
After a week,
you are trying to challenge the supremacy of the court
Mr.
and
Nitish
the decision making ability of the
in
court, which is not good.
Case.
What kind of a lawyer you are?
Well, he's not talking about the court, he's talking about your government.
He was talking about the court. Now he's talking about the court.
He was talking about the court.
You want to raise questions, you can ask questions everywhere.
Defending a person
who's responsible for getting children
raped.
And what we should do further.
But
kind
when
of
Mr.
Thing
Nitish Kumar tells us he's committed and nobody will be spared, but the formal
kind of
goal should be the minister.
Accountability is a process. Just hold on, please. We are talking about, let us not get into the political debate here.
This is not political debate. This is asking the government to, we want somebody who's in a high position to go. It is a lot of anger over.
The minister can also be responsible. I am not saying minister can't be responsible. Chief minister can't be responsible. But then there is a chain of accountability.
Chief Minister is not slipping the blame.
Let me ask you, what do you think? Who else feels that the minister at least should have been sacked? Use your hands. Whoever feels that the minister at least should have been sacked. And the first reaction, we want to see, we've only seen lowly people being removed. You know, some people who work there are six, you know, functionaries. But we haven't seen, you know, at least the minister being sacked. And today Nitish Kumar said, you know, negative chief, you focus on it. Why is he reducing it to a negative?
I'm just asking you the perception being created by the opposition that why minister should be sacked. You know why? They are saying just because that minister's husband used to visit that child shelter home.
Just because? So, not even because of that.
The minister's husband.
All the opposition are saying that.
Because of that.
He should be sacked.
I'm not saying it's because of the husband. I think she should be sacked anyway. What has happened under her watch? But let me get some questions in.
They are saying that. They are saying that. I'm not saying this. I am not saying this. This is the opposition is saying. This is the opposition is saying. I am not saying this.
Why will
I take it?
If a person is visiting the shelter home, he ought to know what is happening there. He might be involved in
what is happening. Let's get some of the audience.
If he is involved, if there is any evidence of involvement.
The finance minister said that it was just a delay of 52 days. But for a child who is being tortured, who's being raped, who has to live every day in that horror, 52 days, don't you think that is an awful lot of time?
It's a way too long.
And the kind of stories we are hearing now, these two have got water thrown on them, they need to sleep naked.
This could be the most heinous and grievous crime ever committed. I'm not running away from that.
When the chief minister himself has made a statement,
कि हम शर्मसार हैं, हमारा सर शर्म से झुक गया है.
शर्म से झुका तो मिनिस्टर साहिबा को बोलिए जाएं.
मिनिस्टर साहिबा को जाएं, वो इशू नहीं है. इशू ये है कि जिसने क्राइम किया वो पकड़ा गया ही नहीं, उसे सजा मिलनी चाहिए या नहीं, और उसको जो लोग भी मदद कर रहे थे, जो लोग उसको एड कर रहे थे,
52 डेज यस
सी एनीबॉडी एडिंग और अबेटिंग दैट क्राइम मस्ट बी पनिश्ड. दिस शुड बी
सर, मिनिस्टर को क्यों नहीं उनको रिजाइन देना चाहिए और पूरी मिनिस्ट्री जो है जितना भी शेल्टर होम होता है मिनिस्ट्री के ही देख रेख में चलता है, वही फंड कितना किसको फंड रेज हो रहा है, किस शेल्टर को कितना जा रहा है, कि कैसे ठेका होता है बिहार में मुझे मत बताइए. और हम भी बिहार से आते हैं, हम भी टीस से हम पढ़े हैं, LLM इन एक्सेस टू जस्टिस हमने किया है, ये सारा चीज है. और कैसे मिनिस्ट्री चलती है, तो मिनिस्टर साहिबा को क्यों नहीं रिजाइन देना चाहिए?
अब
कैसे ठेकेदारी होती है?
फर्स्ट रिएक्शन शुड बी दैट. मोहम्मद, आई लाइक टू गो बैक टू आस्क वन क्वेश्चन दैट has been on my mind. You know, you started this entire social audit in February, and then you visited various homes. When did you visit the Muzaffarpur shelter? And if you found that kids were being raped and sexually exploited, what did you do? Did you give the report then in May, or should you not have actually then and there had an FIR filed?
No, actually, see, you'll have to understand. See, what is coming out now is actually the result of the police investigation that is being done, the medical that is being done.
No, you should say what is the report. Let us hear
testimonies
from
that the children report? Are now giving to the court, to the magistrate. Say, for example, now we read news about children being cut marks being there, or the, you know, burned marks on their bodies. Now, please understand the context in which this social audit was done and what was the objective. This was not an investigation of a crime, you know. So all of this that is coming out now is actually the result of, so what we found was not the way the things are coming out now.
Is it your part of report that sexual acts were committed?
Yes, I can actually read out from his report. It said the institution was exclusive in carrying out sexual violence on girls.
It's the report.
It's available.
That's what
there.
I'm asking him.
No, she's reading it out.
Then, if it is
Mohammed,
true,
you're saying you weren't investigating.
FIR should have been registered.
Well, it was only registered in May after that. So, all right, Richard, I believe you want to come in here. Go ahead.
Yes, I want to say that why blame the messenger? He did his
No, I wasn't blaming the messenger. I admit, but I just wanted to know. Because if you know that a rape is taking place, then I just feel that more time, they gave the report by May, then the government sat on it for another 52 days. I'm just thinking about those children there. But yes, Ruchira, go ahead.
It's a tragedy of immense proportion. And I have to offer some concrete advice going forward that what should be done. And that's why I wanted to come in. The first thing is that we need to have in every state a rapid response team just for children. Because I work in Bihar, I work in a district called Araria in Forbesganj, and I support children of prostitutes to go to school. So I know how difficult it is to keep an institution transparent, to make authorities respond in time, and to make sure that they get the best education possible so that they can have a different life. And for that, if I am not vigilant, I know that standards collapse. And I can only be vigilant if I have a government which responds in time. And very often I find that the government does not respond in time.
All right, very important point there, yes. We must have a rapid response team that goes out in these sort of cases and a social audit. I think the social audits, which you're saying do take place, but we must have.
We cannot have bodies after bodies.
There are already enough teams.
There is already State Commission for Protection of Child Rights. It's their job.
Yeah, that's also a point, Ruchira, that we already have people in place whose jobs are behind the rules. Yes,
several bodies in the district. We need to understand. They can go. There is no need for any team now. There are plenty of teams already.
The child protection cases range from home to child marriage, child in street situation, in child trafficking. So there are number of bodies.
So there are a number of bodies, yes, and I think that's there for to see. We have to go into a short break. We will come back and get final words from everyone. Time to slip into a short break. On the other side, we will bring you a story of positivity as well. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Well, on We the People today, we've been discussing the Muzaffarpur shelter case where children were raped, and we've been talking about how it's been a systemic failure. We've been talking about how other shelters as well, we must be seeing similar horror stories. But right now, we want to also focus on a positive story as well from a shelter. I have with me here Lilima, and she is someone who actually lived in a shelter. She was brought up in a shelter. She received training, and today she's a cook. So let's talk to Lilima a bit about this. Lilima, aap apne baare mein bataiye. Aap bhi shelter mein rahi thi. Kaise tha?
Main 2007 se shelter mein reh rahi thi. 2013 tak. Jo mera experience tha, bahut acha tha. क्योंकि मैं सड़कों में रहती थी. मेरे माँ बाप छोटी उम्र में, मतलब मैं जब छोटी 4 साल की थी तभी वो ख़त्म हो गए थे. तो मतलब कोई था नहीं जो मुझे रख सके, और अगर मैं किसी के पास भी जाती थी तो वो एक बुरी नज़र से देखते थे, मतलब आसपास के लोग, क्योंकि मैं एक लड़की थी, गंदी नज़र से देखना. तो उसको मुझे अपने आप को सेव करने के लिए किसी लोगों ने उठा के मुझे अनाथ आश्रम में डाल दिया. तो जब मैं अनाथ आश्रम में गई तो उन लोगों ने मुझे एजुकेशन दिया.
अनाथ आश्रम मत कहो प्लीज,
एनजीओ
जी. और आपको वहाँ पर पढ़ाई आपने किस क्लास तक करी?
मैंने वहाँ पे 11 तक स्टडीज किया.
और फिर आप काम करना चाहती थी, आप कुक बनना चाहती थी, उसके बारे में बताइए.
फिर मेरा शुरू से ही एम्बिशन था कि मैं कुक बनूँ, एक शेफ बनूँ, अच्छा सा शेफ बनूँ जो मैं अपने आप को स्टैंड कर पाऊँ. तो फिर हर्षमंदर जो रेनबो होम्स के डायरेक्टर है, उन्होंने एक मिस्टर आनंद कपूर से बात किया. तो आनंद कपूर एक रेस्टोरेंट को जानते थे, उसके ऑनर्स को जानते थे. तो उन्होंने बताया कि हमारे यहाँ एक लड़की है लिलिमा, वो शेफ बनना चाहती है, आप अगर चाहते हो तो ट्रेन उसको ज्वाइन कर सकते हो. तो उन्होंने बोला हमें अच्छा लगेगा अगर वो हम लोगों को ज्वाइन करे. तो वहाँ पे
इटालियन खाना बनाते
हैं, यूरोपियन इटालियन फूड बनाते
हैं. बहुत
वंडरफुल. सो आई थिंक दिस इज वन ऑफ दोस पॉजिटिव स्टोरीज दैट वी आल्सो वांट टू फोकस ऑन व्हेन द सिस्टम वर्क्स करेक्टली. प्रभात, you know, final words from you, the learning that we have from this Muzaffarpur case. Let there not be other cases going down the line, and again we're back here discussing the very same things. We have the laws, we have the agencies, we have whatever supervision is supposed to be there. What do you think now should happen?
So just two things. One, I started with saying that we need to fix accountability at all the level, and when I say accountability, even at home level, okay, like Lilima is giving example, or there are a number of example, how many children where rehabilitated back should be one of big indicators that home should have, and then accountability clearly well written and articulated, that should be there. plus before the break I was saying
yes,
that we are not seeing the bigger picture, you know. I'm sorry to say, but that our child protection scheme, like integrated child protection scheme that started in 2010, okay, that provides fund for number of child protection yes. activities and then human resources creation, it is still at very nascent stage. Means if we were to count what is number of staff workforce that is required and they exist, they don't even like, I don't think
and
even
they need the
all of them
training
exist. There
as
is
well.
No repository. They need to understand the aspects, particularly like well capacitated. Secondly, having their performance appraisal in place, you know, child protection is often seen as something
and actually
which is
talking to the children. I think that and that has been one of the decisions that important. Children, their accounts must be, you know, listened to instead of just having documentation and on documentation and having a lot of paper about how the NGO is running. Well, we're completely out of time. I just want to go one last time to Ruchira. Ruchira, yes, go ahead. What do you, your, you know, final words on this issue?
I think shelters are necessary, just as Lilima has spoken about her experience, but we need to make the shelters much more transparent. The TIS report talks about a volunteer-based model where more volunteers have been coming into the shelters to provide support. Older girls who graduate out of the shelters have been coming, and they've mentioned those as best practices. I think that is very important. And when I was talking about rapid response, what I think is that we need a one-stop shop where somebody can call in and there will be a rapid response
okay.
within
so you
20
think there are too
hours.
Many agencies?
So that the chief minister can actually be held accountable if there is no response within 24 hours.
All
if
right.
a report out, and that's my second point. I don't want anyone to interrupt because they've been doing so all
right,
along.
Just go ahead quickly. I want to go last word to Mohammed. Yes.
And the third thing that I want to mention is that it is very, very important to end the culture of impunity, which rapists have been enjoying and have been, it has been increasing steadily in our country.
Absolutely.
As you know about the rapid rapes which have been happening, the massive amounts of
all
rapes.
Right.
Also, Importantly, there are two bills pending in Parliament which will have a negative impact on children. One is the trafficking bill because it does not mention the word sexual exploitation, which means that the police will have more power and state authorities will have more power than the victims. Victims don't understand the law. Multiplicity of laws, ambiguity of definitions confuses
all right.
them. And
okay. All right, Ruchira, I'm sorry, we're completely out of time. Just last, I want to just go across to Mohammed and I think just thank him from all of us. And, you know, the fact that you blew the lid off this exploitation and I hope we can now fight to have more social audits. Yes, I know, Mr. Kant, you've been saying social audits happen, but every state, I think, should have a social audit. And we want to know what is going on in these shelter homes. We want more stories like Lilima's here and less of the Rohtaks and the Muzaffarpur cases. Well, that's all the time we have on the show today. Thank you so much for watching.